Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This message is brought to you by Cologuard. Cologuard is a one-of-a-kind way to screen for colon cancer if you are 45 or older and at average risk for colon cancer. It's uniquely effective because it is the only FDA-approved, non-invasive screening test that looks for both altered DNA and blood in your stool. You know, I've actually had personal experience using Cologuard. I loved that the test kit gets delivered right to your door so that you can collect your sample on your own.
And in addition to the convenience and ease of use, it also is affordable. Most insured patients paid $0.
We really want to emphasize to our friends and listeners how important it is to screen for colon cancer if you're 45 or older. So please talk to your healthcare provider about your screening options, including screening for colon cancer with Cologuard. Cologuard is available by prescription only. You can also request a Cologuard prescription today at Cologuard.com/podcast. Do not use Cologuard if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease, and certain hereditary syndromes, or have a personal or family history of colorectal cancer. False positive and negative results may occur. Any positive result should be followed by a colonoscopy, not a replacement for a colonoscopy in high-risk patients. This story reflects one individual's experience. Not every person will have the same treatment, experience, outcome, or result.
Well, Bald Brian's going to give us a health update. He just had his MRI, got the news back from his MRI with his brain tumor and what's going on with that. So that's coming up. We'll talk all about funerals and the cost and much more. First, I'll tell you about Pure Talk USA. With AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, how about you get with Pure Talk USA? They use the exact same network as those big cell carriers use. Same towers, same coverage, but at literally half the cost. I talked to these guys, and I thought they had their own cell network or something. I was like, how do you pull this off? No, they use the ones the big guys use, the one you're probably using right now. You're just paying way too much. I'm a customer. I kept my phone. They sent me a SIM card, and you get the same service. I have the same service I had before. It's just half the price. Unlimited talk and text, 2 gigs of data, just $20 a month, everyone. The average person saves $400 a year. So why not save a bunch of dough and go with Pure Talk USA? Get unlimited talk, unlimited text, plus 2 gigs of data. All you need to do is grab your mobile phone, dial #250, and say keyword Adam Carolla. That's #250. Say the keyword Adam Carolla. And when you do, you'll save 50% off your first month.
Hey, hey, hey. This is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on PodcastOne.com. It's not what you have, it's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, King of the High Wire, Nick Walenda. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jordan Harbinger drops by, and now he's emotionally drained about actual drainage. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get a note. Should have been get alone. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you. Saw the ratings went up last week, so thanks for sharing. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball Brian.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. We're going to get an MRI update from Brian in a second. Yes, I was on the phone with an attorney from Garrigus's office on my ride home last night when he was like, you think we could interview some of the neighbors to test that this thing was working, that the drainage was working? And I was like, yeah, we could, or they could just fucking give me a piece of paper and get the fuck on with my life. Which you'll find about the city and the government in general is they have an endless amount of time. Their time is not your time. You measure time very differently. They could go on.
They're getting paid either way.
They get paid either way, and they can go on with the same. You could do battle over the same whatever with them in perpetuity, and they don't care. They're happy
to do it.
They just get paid. That's essentially how they work. So, yes. So now we're going to have to craft a letter to the city with Garagos's his name on front of it, or his stationery and his crest, and we'll see if we can get some satisfaction. Well, the satisfaction with the city is always just getting back to zero.
Yeah. Right.
It's always just back.
You never win. It's just degrees of losing.
Yes. I learned this many, many years ago when I was doing Kevin and Bean. I used to yell about it on the air back in the 90s, but just about two blocks from here, where the studio is, there's this intersection in Burbank, and it was the T-shaped intersection, and it was the one where the street would go by the mall in Burbank, where the movie theater and the restaurants and everything were, and the main drag would go through Burbank and just run into the mall where the P.F. Chang's is. And at some point in the mid-90s, I had scurried across the street. I told you guys the light was green, but the don't walk was flashing. I walked across. I made it to the other side. I was so much on the other side. I was so safe on the other side that the cop who wrote me a ticket, the motorcycle cop, went the same direction I went after I went. So he literally scurried across on his motorcycle after I was standing on the sidewalk, and he was giving me this explanation about how it was unsafe, what it is that I do. I love the safety issue. I love if you're doing 84 miles an hour on the Grapevine with the sun shining and zero, you know, 10,000 mile visibility, and the cop going the other direction on the Grapevine hits you with the radar detector, and that guy does a full Dukes of Hazzard Brody and comes across the median and shoots gravel onto it and fishtails and catches up to you. He then gives you a safety explanation about you going
was unsafe.
84 miles an hour in a straight line. But this guy gave me a safety speech, and I just said to him, hey, man, I'm going to fight this ticket because why wouldn't I? I just walked across the street in a crosswalk, and now you're giving me a jaywalking ticket, and I'm standing on the other side, and the light's still green my direction, and there's nothing going on. He's like, well, go ahead and fight it if you want. I was like, okay.
Okay.
Then you have to go down to the court. You have to pay in full. So yep. Now they have your money in full, and then you have to go prove to them why they should give it back to you. I then made a court date. I then went back, and this is our White Lives Matter speech, brothers. I then went back, and the cop never showed up because he probably knew he didn't have a great case. And the judge threw it out, and then everyone kept saying to me, you won. You won the case. And I think it was like, did I win? I cut him a check for $111, and I got it back after 3 days of going back and forth to the fucking courthouse. What did I win?
That's a Pyrrhic victory.
Yes. A win would have been that douche was never born. but I would also take him giving me a warning and getting on his scooter and fucking hitting the bricks. But no, I got a victory. And the victory I'm going to get from the city of La Cañada, if I do get it, is way too much time wrapped up into a subject that really deserved no time. But,
well, the real victory, and I'm sure it'll warm your heart, is they've changed that law, in, at least in L.A., I don't know if all of California. You can now, you know, walk with them when it's blinking red or whatever, as long as you get to the other side before the light changes. So Adam Carolla, lawmaker.
Retroactively.
That's right. Activist.
Yeah. Yeah, that and the field goal post race will be my legacy. Yeah. So I was just at the other shop, and I said hi to Judd Apatow, who's sitting down
for
interviews for our Mad Magazine doc. And it's so crazy the range in people in this town. There are the Judd Apatows, easy as hell. It has nothing to do with their schedule. You know, Jay Leno's easy. You know, Bryan Cranston's an easy guy. Apatow's easy. Kevin Costner's an easy guy. They're just easy guys, and then there's super fucking difficult guys. And there's no, there's nothing, you couldn't do it by their income or the amount of movies they've made or success or anything. It's just, they're just, some guys are just regular, easy. They seem to be happier, the easy people.
Well, yeah, and I know you do. I do, too. I have unemployed friends who are harder to make plans with than these mega stars.
Yeah, and it's also like you tell Judd Apatow, you know, 12:30, and he's there at 12:15. And Cranston, same way. Like, it's not – I think people mistake – it's sort of like rich people aren't nice or poor people are noble. You're a dick or you're not. It really – your income, your FICO score, it doesn't make a difference. I know plenty of fucking douchey poor people. I know plenty of flaky poor people. And I know plenty of, like, rich celebrities that are early. Yeah, and super friendly. Like, it's just who you are.
It's hammered into you at a young age, hopefully.
Yeah, or it's not hammered into you, and it's like you're wiring. Like, I noticed Sonny and Natalia really didn't have much hammered into them except for Hot Pockets. But we didn't have to do a lot of there was a lot of sagely advice or anything. Sonny is mellow, easy, very calls everyone Mr. This and Mr. That, very respectful, and just, you know, whatever you say to him, like, you know, we were in Monterey, and he'd grabbed an OJ. We'd pulled into like a Starbucks or something. We're just standing there. He grabbed an OJ, and he's like, I'm gonna have an OJ and a breakfast sandwich and a blueberry muffin. And I said, well, Sonny, the OJ's got a ton of sugar and the blueberry muffin's got a ton of sugar. So you want the blueberry muffin or you want the OJ? And he went, I'll take the blueberry muffin. And he put the OJ back. Now, if that was Natalia, we'd have to gear up for battle.
For 10 rounds.
We'd literally have to start padding up and get...
You'd still be there.
We'd still be there just screaming right now at each other because that wouldn't have worked for her. But Sonny got it. You know, okay. And... it's just a wiring. Cranston has it, and Leno has it, and Apatow has it, and there are others who do not. And it's just them. I think we think becoming rich or becoming a celebrity or notable or famous turns you into that. You don't look. Mariah Carey didn't become Mariah Carey. She was always Mariah Carey. Now she's Mariah Carey that people listen to.
Right, you know, the spotlight.
Yeah, the only difference is when you're working as a waitress, people aren't going to listen to you. Like, they're just not going to let you be a diva.
That was like the famous lore with Madonna when she was nobody in New York and still demanded her own dressing room and still demanded this and that. People were like, who are you? Get out of here. What are you ever going to amount to? I mean, it was just who she was.
Yeah, you can't give money to a normal person and make them Madonna.
Right.
Yeah, and or you couldn't.
Unless it's already in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be in them. Yeah. That the money enables them to do what they're doing, but it's there. The money's the weapon, but there's still a serial killer that lies beneath the skin.
By your logic, and I think it's sound, for every $1 million I would make, I would apologize 10 times more.
Yes. Well, that it is true. There is the point where you understand people recognize you and you don't want to leave the bad tip or you don't want to be rude to the Uber driver or whatever. There's another direction we can go. All right. So actually, Cranston's going to be on the show tomorrow and Apatow's over there. We wanted to talk to Brian about his MRI results, which he got today.
This morning.
To set the table, had the tumor, no, not much movement in the tumor for a decade.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
And then some movement, and movement is bad. And then on new medication, down significantly weight-wise, down about 25, 30 pounds. And now checking to see if if it in fact has moved, it has grown or changed in any way.
Right. So 2 months ago, got the last MRI, and that was the one that had a couple little dots and a couple little thickening of the tumor, and that was enough to make my doctor go, you know what? This is probably the time to take a little bit of aggressive action. We want to get ahead of this thing. This is, you know, the right time to do it. So put me on this medication, Stivarga, that I've been on for 2 months. Debilitating. You guys heard my voice for a couple of months. It was pretty bad, and just the side effects were awful, top to bottom. We got the results of the new MRI today after 2 months of this medication to see if it worked. So there's good news and there's bad news. I'll start with the bad news. The bad news for all of you is if you thought that I was smug after beating cancer once, fucking brace yourselves. Because the good news is the medication worked.
Oh,
it worked well. The enhancement is gone. The two little dots that showed up, that's totally gone. The thickening of the tumor has reduced quite a bit. The tumor may have even shrunk.
Hold on, Chris. I said to blow a call into Mark DiCarlo after the show. That's just.
Leave that one alone.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'll keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, the thickening of the tumor that I saw, the little looked a little thicker on the last MRI, that was gone. Maybe even shrunk a little bit, which was an ancillary benefit. I guess if there is a dark lining to this silver cloud, it's that this medication is like, here's the conundrum. This medication is really rough on you, but it works. So we now have to decide what avenue to go down in terms of, I want to keep you on this medication. It works. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to keep you on it for a total of 6 months. But, you know, obviously your quality of life is suffering. And what we kind of settled on, the good news, it's kind of flexible, the dosage. So he's like, well, I've been taking 4 pills every morning for the last 2 months. He's like, well, let's do 3 pills because you might, you know, have gotten to a level of toxicity with too much of the medication. So let's do 3 pills, reduce it by 25%. Hopefully it has the same effectiveness. You called it a different word, efficiency or efficacy or whatever.
Efficacy.
That's yes. It, yeah. So efficiency, works.
Avastin, the first medication, was a experimental 10 plus years ago and a lifesaver.
It had been recently approved for other, like recently, within a few months of when I started it. It had been recently approved for other types of cancer, blood vessel inhibitor, colon cancer, colorectal cancer, and doctors were using it for brain tumors.
But what's the second drug?
It's called Stivarga. It works similarly. It's a blood vessel inhibitor, so it's very similar.
Was
it's
this around 10 years ago?
Oh, no. This is – I'm sorry. I'm confused. Avastin was the drug from 10 years
right.
ago.
Right. Yes.
Was this one 10 years ago?
This one is called Stivarga, and it's also relatively new. Not as new, maybe 2 or 3
right.
years.
Right. But the point is the first one bought you the 10 years to get to this one.
Yes. This was not around 5 years ago. This has only been around for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And it works the same way, and thankfully I responded to it really well, despite the massive annoying side effects.
Well, let me speak to that for a second. And first off, everyone always hates Big Pharma, but hey, man, they invent shit that save people oftentimes
they
as well.
Big Brian.
And right. I don't know what I'm going through with the fucking city right now. Would you like the government just to kind of take this one over and handle this? I'm sorry. I look, and people go, they're profits. They make such big profits. Like, I get it. I want them incentivized to make profits. I know there's a downside to that, but I want them trying to make money so guys like Brian could be with us for a good long time. As far as your quality of life, if you want to get philosophical about it, your side effects are bad, but your quality of life is still a lot better than mine.
You're right. They know a silver lining.
I have to get up and run around everywhere all fucking day and clean shit and run around and answer phone calls and stuff all day. So your quality of life is actually better, but the side effects. But if you just let the dust settle, I think the quality of life with the side effects may trump my zero side effects and horrible quality of life.
You give me a lot to think about.
I'll let you think about that.
I'm going to meditate on that.
Please do. Speaking of quality of life, I got a tweet about my dad playing the trumpet. And again, I'm on year 4 of trying to settle my dad's trumpet woes. As you know, he wanted a new trumpet for about 3 years, and then we got the new trumpet, and then he wanted another trumpet. Now he's got his $4,000 trumpet, but he wants me to take it in and have it checked out. But there's no place to take it because every place is closed with the COVID.
And nothing to check out.
And there's nothing to check out either. I don't know. What are the chances a brand new $4,000 trumpet is a lemon? You know what I mean?
Zero?
Right. I bet you if I handed it to that guy from Cake, he'd put my dad to shame. Hey, Cake guy. I bet I could get Cake guy.
Herb Alpert's still alive.
Is he? He's probably older than my dad. I need younger lungs on that. But I bet I could get Cake guy to come to my dad's house and blow that thing silly. So we had our trumpeter send me a tweet. He's a guy who trumpets and shoots a 44. Do we have that, Max Spana? Somewhere do you have his tweet?
I got it right here. The trumpet isn't the issues, Charlie Cook says. It's the strength of his embouchure, his chops. Long tones would good. It could also be his age.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it's Pop's lip rather than the actual equipment. This is pilot error here. That's what
Dawson said yesterday.
Yes, you have. Well, I think we all subtly knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Should we listen? Can we listen to it one more time when he's explaining to me that something's wrong with it?
It's got 90-something-year-old lungs, man. That's all that could have sounded so good.
Hey, Brian, see what I'm talking about with quality of life? Did you have to spend $4,000 to buy your dad a trumpet just to have him blow it at you and go, something's off. You got to take it back.
No, man, I'm winning.
You're winning. That's right.
That's pretty clear.
Right.
Yeah, you have a little numbness in your hand.
A little limp.
Salty food tastes bitter. I get it, but is it all... It all pales. It all takes a backseat to this, right?
Yeah, think about it. This is the grand scheme.
This is how I spend my adult life.
You hear it. It just sounds...
Talking to my dad about playing a trumpet.
And I think your dad might have just beat your mom in lack of self-awareness. Because at no point did he say, like, oh, this trumpet sounds weak. It must be me.
No.
I'm the weak one.
Yeah, a little bit.
No. The plan was to see if we could kind of patch up our relationship before he died, but now it's me just sitting at the business end of his trumpet where he's going, the action on the valve is bad.
This is it. It's as good as it gets.
Sounds fine, right?
Sounds like a trumpet.
All right. So do we have our gun shooting trumpet.
Here's listener Charlie playing a couple of familiar tunes.
The percussion's on point.
God, I don't know if I want him to be my band teacher or my gun teacher. He's just proficient.
I love that guy. I don't know. There's something so satisfying. Maybe it's the camera angle. We'll put
it
up at adamcarolla.com. Yes.
You know what you're satisfied by? That all of this is being done in a tie.
Yes.
He's in a formal outfit for this. Good. It's the best part.
All right. Let's see. We got a couple of calls up there. And let's see. Let me take a couple of these. I'll just go down the line. Christian, 50, Montana.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah. It's funny. I was thinking, I kept thinking about when you're from Montana, and I think about Charlie playing the horn and shooting his gun. I always think about Nate's brothers. Like, you got a dog that needs to be put down? I'll do it.
That's a specialized service, and it's pretty common up here.
Is it?
No.
You can find somebody to shoot a dog pretty easy. Yeah.
All right. So, Christian, you heard me talk about moving to Montana. You think it's a bad idea?
I've heard you encouraging other people to do it, and yes, please don't. We're full. More out of orders than we can possibly take.
Yeah. How long have you been in Montana? And where are you in Montana?
I was born here. I'm in Helena in the capital city.
And how sparse was it when you were growing up?
We probably had 650, 700,000 people, and we're now over a million.
And what are you seeing? Like, are there trends? Are you seeing more Priuses? What are you seeing? What would let you know that these folks are out-of-towners?
Their plates. Just driving around my neighborhood here, lots of California plates, lots of Texas plates. We took a trip last weekend to kind of the middle part of the state and found 28 different state license plates of people traveling around. Home prices are going up. They're just, the traffic's getting worse. There's too many people. So
yeah.
Please
All right.
don't encourage people to move here.
You know, what's interesting as I think about it, I remember as a kid, this is an interesting little yardstick, but as a kid, I used to see a lot of out-of-town plates in California or in Los Angeles. And we even had a game, like out-of-town plate, and you'd smack mm-hmm. your sister in yep. the arm, you know, in the back of the car. You'd spot mm-hmm. the out-of-town plate. And you'd drive along the freeway, and it wouldn't take you 5 minutes to spot the out-of-town plate. I don't see as many out-of-town plates in Los Angeles. I used to see a lot. Maybe less are coming in.
Theory, because I've observed the same thing. My theory is that a lot of out-of-town plates, especially in places like Los Angeles or, you know, tourist destinations, people are coming out of town. Rental cars, you know, people get them to the airport, they drive them all over to Universal City, go to Disneyland, go to wherever. Now with the advent of Uber and Lyft, I think you see a lot less less rental cars on the road.
But I think a lot of the out-of-town plates, or a portion of the out-of-town plates, are people who've relocated here and leave the plates on their car for X amount of months or even longer, which I'm not seeing. You know what I mean?
So that is true, but the law is, it used to be, because my girlfriend had New Jersey plates way back in the day. You had to change it within 6 months. So that's a pretty smallish, I mean, people, of course, push it. You know,
I think everyone milks it as long as they can milk it because they think they're not going to get tickets or whatever it is. But I just don't see as many out-of-town plates. And I'll bet you Montana's has gone up while Los Angeles or California's gone down. And, of course, your greatest citizen left almost immediately, the great Evel Knievel.
There's not even Evel Knievel Days anymore. They've canceled that.
Oh, really?
Well, his oldest son, Kelly, got in a big conflab with the city of Butte, and so they haven't had it for the last two or three years.
What was the beef with Kelly Knievel?
Knievel
and Butte, Montana, where Evel Knievel is from.
I it was licensing or something. Kelly didn't think they were getting he didn't think they were getting a big enough cut.
You know what's a big, sorry, Christian, but you know what is kind of a weird burden? Getting back to our philosophical, like you don't have to be mean just because you're rich or whatever. I think what you would wish for least for your kids is to sort of maintain your estate when you're gone. So it's like you were the famous one, then you died, then you think this is cool because now you get left this catalog or these movies or this name thing. Mm-hmm. It's always one big legal battle. You always get into a legal battle with the former manager of the person who died.
Siblings.
And or the siblings.
Yeah.
I think there's some of this was going on with the Newman when we were like doing the Newman doc. And like this guy doesn't have anything to do with the foundation because this guy's running it and he hates this guy. But Paul left this guy in charge. It's a lot of legal stuff. No matter how much money you make off your dad, your dead dad or mom's name, it always feels like you got gypped somehow because Butte is making more money off of your dad than you are. Or the legal counsel or your dad's business partner or the ne'er-do-well half-brother, sister. I mean, it's just...
Somebody got cut in that shouldn't have.
It's just... It sounds very first-world problem-y, but think about it. Like, that would be a sucky way to spend your adult life, like constantly doing court battles with ex-wives and, you know, folks, attorneys and the names and the things and... You never really establish your own identity because it's like you are battling for your dad's identity.
You're a steward of his life.
Right, right. It's just, it never goes clean and you don't end up having a life. You end up litigating your dad's life over and over again, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you gotta be careful what you wish for. Jake's leaving California. He's headed for Boise. Boise, Idaho. Let's
consider Montana.
Yeah. Jake, 41, Palos Verdes.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Wanted to let you know I'm a business owner in California and been pretty unhappy with the state of the greater Los Angeles area for a while and the direction California is going. I own a business. I'm impacted by income taxes and all the other taxes and costs here. And now they're talking about another income tax increase in California. And, Now that COVID's kind of made me realize we can all work remotely, and now that our four kids have been cooped up in our house for 4 months, my wife kind of realizes even she's kind of getting on board with maybe this isn't the best place to raise a family anymore and there's opportunities elsewhere. So I'm taking the opportunity to, while I'm on travel next week, I change my flight home. Instead of flying directly back from D.C., I'm going to fly through Boise, and I've got appointments set with a real estate agent. I'm checking out neighborhoods, and I'm looking at houses.
Wow. Yeah. Boise.
It's weird. It's interesting that you always think about this, or I guess I used to think about it in terms of, like, foreign nationals. Like, Chinese people are coming in, and they're buying houses, and you pick the land. This is a rare thing, I think, that a bunch of Americans are just going to other places and shopping and fleeing. And yeah, no one. And the thing about Los Angeles or California especially is like people don't want to leave. It's the weather's great and the coastline is great. And there's still lots of good stuff to enjoy and celebrate. But yeah, if you run a business, you have to make business decisions. And if you're a school teacher or something, you don't. That's fine. But if you run a business, you're going to have to make those kinds of decisions. And just like, you know, everything that was being built in Detroit ends up getting built in Mexico or mm-hmm. China, you know, you're making business decisions. I think that people think that, you know, they think Ford or Apple computers or Nike, it's like they're evil. It's like, no, they're making business decisions. Now, maybe they're giving money to people you don't want to have the money, but they're making business decisions. And if you run a business and you live in California, you're going to have to start making business decisions. And it sounds like that's what Jake is getting ready to do. Where are you in Palos Verdes, by the way? That's so nice.
There's four cities actually in Palos Verdes, so we're in one called Rolling Hills Estates.
Yeah. Well, good news. Go ahead, Gina Grant.
I just want to know why Boise.
Oh, why Boise?
Oh, well, we want a much bigger home. We have four kids. We looked at areas where it's affordable. We started in Salt Lake City. You can get enormous homes there. But we were a little concerned, you know, we'd be the vast minority. I mean, our kids could literally be amongst in schools with literally like 95% Mormons, which it can be difficult, you know, if they're going to, like, they will have no friends on Sundays, for example. So we kind of expanded outward, looked from there, and we've heard about Boise kind of being a hidden gem. We've also heard that people from Boise say, "Not, we're all full up. Tell
right.
these assholes from California, we don't want them anymore." But I figure, look, if I'm leaving California because maybe my ideals align more with a native Idahoan than a native Californian, then why wouldn't they want our family there?
And you said Idaho's a hidden gem. Are you aware that Idaho is called the gem state?
Ooh.
Ooh, so I think yes, I'd learned that when looking at homes the other day. You're right.
I think it's time. Yeah.
Good one.
Thanks, Jake. Keep us updated. I'm curious
how
this goes.
Oh, yeah. If anything else happens, I'll call you back.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right, let me hit Albert here. Get a handle on your money without the stress and download Albert. It's a finance apps. And a lot of the finance apps lack a little humanity. Well, not Albert. They combine real human guidance with proven technology so you stay in control. You can access real financial advisors. You can message anytime through the app. You save. It tracks your income and your spending. Find money you can save without disrupting your cash flow. Albert's users save an average of $400 in just 6 months. So you can be more efficient. You can save more, and you don't have to interrupt your lifestyle. And they have Albert Instant cash advance of up to $100 straight to your bank account to tide you over if you need it. No credit check, zero interest, and no late fees. It is Albert, right, Dawson?
Install Albert from the App Store or Google Play today to find your happy balance and get a bonus of up to $40 when you start an annual subscription to Albert Genius.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk to Jordan Harbinger. He's got his topic, which is timely, probably based on what we're talking about, was funeral and funeral homes and what a massive ripoff they are. So we'll take a quick break and we'll talk to him right after this.
There's no shortage of action going on with our exclusive partners at BetOnline.ag. Sports are slowly making its way back. MLB and now NBA join UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and soccer. BetOnline has all the best odds and lines for the upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening every day live for you to check out. Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline also has hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and all the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device and join now to receive your new welcome bonus and start playing today. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code podcast1. That's PODCASTONE for your sign up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And now Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Bossier City, Louisiana. A 26-year-old man was charged with simple criminal damage to property after attempting to make a viral video by swimming inside an aquarium at Bass Pro Shop. Definitely not a Jew.
I thank the good people from Alcoa for sponsoring that for so many. God, going on 15 years now. Great relationship with them. Jordan Harbinger is going to shine some light on the subject of funerals and funeral homes. I want to rip off that is. Also, I'll tell you that it's brought to you by NetSuite, and you can thank them for bringing on guys like Jordan Harbinger. And NetSuite's the world's number one cloud business system, trusted by more than 19,000 companies. It's the last system you'll ever need. Intro Dawson.
NetSuite presents The Wonderful World of Business with Jordan Harbinger.
So what do you know, Jordan?
Well, all of us are going to have to plan a funeral at some point, whether it's somebody else's or ours, but chances are both. And it's a $20 billion business in the U.S. alone. So there's a lot of people dying. And the costs have gone up 1,300% since 1980 or so, which is when, you know, I was first coming into the world. So the difference in a funeral price between me burying or my family burying my grandpa and somebody who dies today is could be upwards of $10,000 or even $50,000. So it's insane.
It's right up there. There's certain things that's like, it's like couples who get married and they don't live in a house and they don't own a condo or any kind of property, and they're spending all their money on a European vacation. You know, they're going to honeymoon in Europe, you know, and I'm always like, take that money and put it into a condo in Sherman Oaks.
Or just the wedding.
Yeah. Or just the wedding. Right. Like, mm-hmm. Save that money and buy something. And you're literally just burying money in this case. And also, in a world where we understand that buying airline tickets in advance saves you a lot of, like, if you're planning a trip to Phoenix, you buy your tickets 5 weeks in advance so you don't get gouged buying them 3 days in advance. We all may not know if we're going to Phoenix or not, but we're all going to die. Like, we all got that. Yeah. And it strikes...
It's a euphemism. You never know when you're going to Phoenix.
That's right. You never... What strikes me is I'll bet you most people die, and then you make the funeral arrangements after the person dies, including, I'm speaking from experience, a $13,000 casket that I bought my father-in-law. And there's no doubt that if that casket or any of this stuff had been paid for in advance, it would not cost what this cost. But they know it. I think it's an emotional thing that people don't want to deal with it. And sure. So they just do it all at the end.
Sure. I woke up in Phoenix this morning.
That's nuts. Yeah,
you're definitely on the right track. I mean, the death business plays on your grief. So they know that the last thing you want to do when your loved one dies is haggle over pricing, shop around in comparison shop, put your foot down when the bill gets too high and complain about how they're price gouging. Most people can barely make it through the day without falling apart, much less with an experienced vendor who's sort of trying to pretend that they care about your situation while also jacking up revenue as high as possible in every conceivable way.
The real grieving begins when the funeral ends and everyone from the family comes up to you and goes, "Hey, thank you. Hey, thank you." Mm-hmm. And you go, "Whoa. Why are you thanking me? What'd I do?" "Thanks. Hey, I really appreciate it." And you go, "Okay, what? Why are you thanking me?" It's like, "Oh, you paid for everything. You paid for everything." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. You're welcome."
First time hearing of it.
Yeah. 20-something thousand bucks. Yeah, it's awesome.
It adds up so fast. And look, even if they're not trying to outright scam you, they're meeting you in this moment of extreme vulnerability, which gives them this massive upper hand in negotiation. Again, it's the 3-day Phoenix, 3 days beforehand Phoenix ticket. Oh, you know, we have these ridiculous prices. How bad do you need to go to Phoenix on Wednesday?
Well, lead time is the way to save money on almost anything you do in a hurry means you have to pay for it.
I was just thinking, sorry, it's like the other side of the coin, because you hear about when you buy a residential property as opposed to a commercial property, real estate agents are playing on the same thing. On the other side of the coin, the happiness, the future, the possibilities, you'll have kids and this will be their yard. And can you imagine, put yourself in this position? And they're jacking up the price because you're getting emotional about your future. You're excited about it. On the other side of the coin, you're in grief, like you said, you're depressed. You just want this all to go away. Mm-hmm. And this big, you know, this person comes and wraps their arms around you and then asks for your credit card.
And not just that, you're 100% right, Gina, but there's also an additional emotional component, which if you're not spending the right amount of money, you're not, there's a subtle, like, you're not honoring this person correctly.
Right. You don't care.
Adam, you don't apply to this, but that's how most people feel.
Yeah. Well, we're Neptune people.
Yeah.
So so my family's all in the Neptune Society, so they actually paid their $35, you know, 50 years before they die, and then that's it. We didn't do anything. My grandmother, my grandfather was taken away, and my grandmother was taken away, and we never went. There was never an event attached to it. There was no funeral or wake or anything. But my grandmother did have a wake for my grandfather, but it was about 2.5 to 3 years after. Wait, what year did my grandfather die, Maxipata? 97? I think you can look it up. The wake that we had for him was definitely in the middle, beginning of 2000, the year 2000. I think he died in like 97. So
yeah, 97.
What? When 97?
July 97.
July 97. It was over 3 years. Over 3 years after he died. And we had a gathering at my grandmother's house. And then when my grandmother died, it had been, then my mom took about 3 years. And we had the wake there. The thing that was funny was like my grandmother was like 91. My grandmother was like 90 when they died. They lost at least 70% of their friends in those 3 years. Their friends were their age, you know. So
tearing down the guest list.
They all just died. Yeah. More ambrosia salad for me, I heard my mom announce from the kitchen.
Two less Entenmann crumb cakes.
Bring me the big spoon.
Yeah, but they were Neptune Society people, and it didn't cost us a penny. I just remember sitting next to one of my grandmother's old friends at my grandfather's wake, and she was explaining that she turned on the TV, and it was 20 minutes of me talking about defecation. That's she kept saying. I don't
she only
know.
Got half the episode.
I don't know who these people are. It's the weird old people who confront you all the time. You know what I mean? Like I turned on TV last night, and you were on, and you were talking about defecation. By the way, the thing about these fucking people that I hate is they know everything and they know nothing. So when you go, you were just talking about defecating for it was 20 minutes. And I go, I'm sure it wasn't 20 minutes, but what were you watching? Oh, I don't know. What channel? I don't. Well, what was I with? Was
How
I with
I
Dr. Drew or was Jimmy Kimmel? Was it a man? I honestly couldn't. Okay. You can't tell me anything about it. You're telling me I talked about defecating for 20 minutes. You don't know the person was sitting next to me. You don't know what channel it was. I don't know if it's a rerun, but that's how that's all I remember from my grandfather's wake. The only thing I remember from my grandmother's wake is one of the old friends innocently doddering over to my mom, who's always a depressed mess and hates her mom's guts. And she went to her and she went, Helen Gorog was your mom. Oh, that must have been an interesting life. And I was like, all right, mom is going to break down into a heap of tears, or she's going to start screaming about child protective services. Or I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm getting the fuck out of here. Those are my memories. Those are my lasting memories.
Well, you know what part of your content makes an impact when they only remember the defecation and not the channel and not who hosted it with you. So that's good survey.
I kept saying to her, I can't talk about defecation on TV for 20 minutes. It was a full 20 minutes. That's all I remember.
Yeah, tell Edison Research. They're going to want that data, I think.
How do we save money then? What is the plan?
So the whole thing with caskets and everything is a monopoly. There used to be like 700 casket companies in 1950 or so. Now there's 150. So you have to comparison shop. Everything is sort of guided you. It's all like path of least resistance is this insanely expensive urn or casket or whatever. They're just guiding you gently there. And the markup is bananas, 300 to 500%. So, of course, you mentioned it earlier, plan ahead. But don't just go in earlier. You have to negotiate the price of every individual item, and they have to by law show you that. A lot of people don't know that. They'll be like, oh, here's this package we have, and you negotiate $1,000 off this $14,000 funeral package. But what you should be doing is saying, look, this is a $14,000 package. The casket is $4,000. Well, it's this model. All right, I'm going to go online. Walmart has caskets. They probably don't display them in many stores, but they have them. You can call and say, what does this model casket cost or similar? And it will be like a fifth of the price.
I think I found a doppelganger of my $13,000 casket for like $9.89 at Costco. I think Costco had the exact same like royal blue cast. I mean, look.
Yeah.
But you have to buy
exactly
a dozen
same.
Of them.
Well,
I'm burying the football team. Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, you can go to Costco and get one of these things. Mm-hmm. And I still don't know what's going on with the Neptune Society, but I think you could definitely sign up for that. But that you have to be without it's good if Jesus has been removed from your life and you're bitter. as long as you hate the people you're burying, like my family, then it's a good move.
There's one more option, and it's a talk about a pain in the ass. They have to turn you away three times. You could convert to Judaism, where you're supposed to be, you're not embalmed, and you're buried in a pine box.
Mm.
There you go. I think there you could go. You might be able to just lie about that. Yeah. I don't know how much they check the deceased for official conversion.
They'll check with family members. They don't play.
Oh, they don't really. Well, that's
depends
that's
on the synagogue you belong to.
Costco's got to have, or Walmart, they got to have some wide body caskets, right? I mean, you can't. Oh, yeah. It's not one double size wide. Fits all.
If oh you're, yeah.
Like
not these days. Maybe in the '80s, it was one size fits all. I remember reading stories. My mom would go, "That man was so big, he had to be buried in a piano box."
And now right.
I'm like, they literally must have like 10% of their volume is these size caskets.
Were any? yeah. That'd be funny if you're talking to the grief counselor at the Costco and it's like, oh, he was a big fan. Yeah, perhaps he spent a little too much time by the cheese samples. that could have caused a heart attack, and it could be the reason we're putting an atta leaf in your coffin right now. We're go ahead and winding that baby out.
The sheet cake for one
slides out.
I used to hear, and I don't know if any of these stories are true, but when I was growing up, this is mid-70s stuff. There was always a slew of, and she's being buried in her Cadillac. Like, oh, yeah. She loved her. She loved her Jaguar, and she wanted to be buried in it, and she's going to be buried in it. And I'm like, I was nine going, is that true? Like, she wanted to be buried in her Cadillac, and so her wishes were to be buried in her. There was a lot of those. There was the piano box. There was had to bury him in a piano box, and then there was buried in her Rolls Royce, which I don't know. I don't work for the EPA or OSHA, but there's a lot of brake fluid and transmission and seepage. Yeah,
the toxic metals.
It's funny you mentioned that. It's funny that Jordan's talking about negotiating down, which everyone should do.
Right.
Christie's grandma negotiated up. She was buried in a sarcophagus, which I didn't know they still had.
Like the Queen of the Nile.
Yeah, I don't think it was gold. That'd be absurd. But it was a shiny, heavy sarcophagus.
Is that different than a casket?
Yeah, the casket goes inside. The casket goes inside the sarcophagus.
Basically,
that seems to be preserved. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the coffin wasn't enough. She needed a coffin coaster. Or coffin condom.
A coffin cozy,
as long as we're doing alliteration here. It's an interesting insight, which is, and I'm curious about Christie, respectfully, of course, the wiring of Christie's grandmother, which is like, my family are kind of narcissists who do nothing for anyone else, but they're also willing to be just cremated and tossed into a ceiling fan. Like, they have no thoughts about themselves after they're dead, but they don't do anything for anybody, and they're kind of egotistical while they're alive. Wanting to be buried in a sarcophagus, is what is the wiring there sort of emotionally? Was she a flamboyant person? Was she into her own stuff? Nope. Like, what was she? Was she like?
I got the key that's going to make it all snap into focus. I didn't know the woman well. I was only married to Christie for a few years while she was still alive. Very sweet lady, but she was very religious. Mm. I think I think that was the way to honor the body and the spirit. You know what I mean? She gave a lot of money to Kenneth Copeland and a lot of online. But Jordan, maybe you can do a segment about that sometime.
I'm like, I am writing that down right now.
So I think that was a way for her to honor the Lord and the spirit and the body.
Wow.
So she sort of with the thought that she would want to be in good shape
keep in mind, I think very religious people are a segment of them believe that, you know, when judgment day comes, the souls that are buried in the earth, the pure souls are going to get taken up to heaven.
How's her soul going to get out of a second?
How are they going to get the box open?
Don't stuck make Jesus there. Work that hard.
Right. But it seems like she wanted a little bit of the Tupperware effect versus being cremated.
I didn't discuss it with her, but yes.
Interesting.
So, Adam, with all of this, conversation, are you going to let your father be buried with the trumpet that he hated?
God.
Or are you going to want to return on that investment?
Jesus Christ! Yeah, who's going to get the trumpet?
Oh wow!
Yeah,
the one asset that he has, you bought it.
Well, maybe I'll bury it with him so we can hand it to Gabriel, and then Gabriel can go, "No, the action's fine, Jim. Turns out you have a horrible lip. Here you go." Maybe that's how it'll work. I don't know much about religion. All right, Jordan. The Jordan Harbinger Show, by the way, podcast available on Spotify and Podcast One as well. And you can say hi to him at his website, jordanharbinger.com. Do we have an outro?
Ah, what a wonderful world of business. Jordan Harbinger, brought to you by NetSuite.
Yeah, I want to thank our partners over at NetSuite and tell you guys you can schedule your free product tour right now and get a free guide, seven key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Adam. Support a great sponsor. Jordan, always thought-provoking. Thanks for joining us.
Great to see you.
Thank you, Jordan Harbinger. All right, let's see. We've got a couple calls up there. Nick Willenda of the Flying Willendas, and the guys walked over the volcano last we saw him.
Awesome.
It's going to be up in a second. Let's see. He's done steepest incline. Walking up a steep, that's tough. Yeah, 19-degree incline. Walking a tightrope and going uphill has got to be rough. He's done the highest blindfolded walk at 500 feet.
And those are both the same day.
In Chicago.
That's before lunch.
What has he done lately?
He's done the highest wheel of death, which is where you stand outside the wheel and the wheel like spins around and you run on top of it like a dyslexic hamper. Hamster, I meant. I think that's the wheel of death is, I think, the guys who run outside of that big wheel on top of it.
Yeah, like a log roll, but with a Ferris wheel.
Right. He's done the longest tightrope crossing on a bicycle, almost 250 feet in Newark, New Jersey, and the highest tightrope crossed on a bicycle as well at almost 250 feet in the Bahamas. So talk to him about his book and how he works and how he thinks. Let's see, I had one more call left. Jeremy from Charlotte. Jeremy?
How you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Sorry, Bald, in advance. I'm going to bring up another short subject for you. But ACC or the Pac-12 and Big Ten canceling college football this fall. Just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on the whole situation. Where you're going to be able to play in the spring. Or what's it going to be like without college football? Want to be looking at.
I don't. I'm confused by this whole thing. I feel like it's not really killing young people, and I also feel like you're going to get it. I just think you're going to get it. We're not talking about quarantining these guys. We're just saying they can't play. I don't know. I watched my favorite show came back on the other night, Hard Knocks Training Camp, and the entire first episode was just dedicated to people spraying on hand sanitizer and getting their nostrils swabbed. It was the most boring episode ever because it was all just, we need to distance, we need to safely distance, like all the stuff you've been hearing over the last 5 months. That was the entire episode, and I get it. That's kind of where we're at, and they got to cover it. But it really ruined it. It's like my favorite show, and it ruined the first episode. Hopefully, we'll get to the action next week.
It was Zoom meetings, and I spent all day on Zoom meetings. I don't want to turn on Hard Knocks and watch more Zoom meetings.
It was more Zoom meetings about being safe. I don't. I'm confused, but I don't know. I feel like these are some of the best, youngest, strongest guys on the planet, and I don't see why we can't play, but. Who knows, but Brian?
I agree with you. You're talking about the 60 kids that are on scholarship who are peak athletes in their early 20s, late teens. But there's more people who are trainers and coaches and staff and just whatever who are just on the sidelines handing them water or washing their clothes or taping them up. Like, I mean, it's not just the athletes, which I agree with you on, but there's a whole support staff that are not in the peak physical condition.
Well, you know, my feeling is, look.
Got some tips on discount coffins for him, at least.
It's not going away, so we have to make decisions. Like, then that's going to have to involve some risk. And if you're a team trainer and you're 77 years old and you have some issues, you might have to sit that season out. I mean, if you're... you know, if you're an old teacher, don't go back into the classroom. If you're 26 years old and you're strong as a horse, then you go back in the classroom. We're going to start modifying things. But this whole just sort of shut it down, I don't know. I feel like we're getting past it. There's maybe some protocols. The death rate seems to be down. I don't know.
What's crazy is, you know how much these colleges rely on this income. This is one of the biggest sources of income.
I know.
So the fact that these two major conferences decided this independently, you know they want to play football. They desperately want to have that TV revenue, that whatever.
I agree.
They don't want to cancel the season.
I know. I wonder if the litigious part of our society is just possibly so great now that if one kid died, the school would literally go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And there'd be no way, there would be no possible way that if some young person died or assistant coach died or whatever, they would bring up 7,000 protocol interruptions or
irregularities.
They go, here's a picture of you not wearing a mask, talking to the team.
Did you Purell seven times?
They would destroy them, and I think maybe that's it. Jeremy,
and aren't these the dominoes that are falling? Because like NCAA, they mandated, right, that that you still get your scholarship if you opt out. They're not going to try and force you. And we had Bob Costas on Conway last night, and he reminded us, as you've talked about before, that this is sort of a domino effect, because these big football teams and some of the basketball teams, that's what funds all the other sports. Mm-hmm. The girls' teams, tennis, golf, whatever. So
yeah, they canceled volleyball. They canceled all fall sports,
right?
And so a lot of the spring sports in jeopardy, because, like you said, football revenue pays for the entire athletic department for the full year. So
But if we're supposed to, if we're on track to have a vaccine by early next year, are they just hedging their bets, and then we're just going to get an onslaught cornucopia of every sport that's ever been played in the spring?
I don't know.
Football, you run into, you can't. I mean, you can't play two seasons in 8 months. I mean, then we're
that would be crazy.
Much of a player safety issue with injuries and concussions and all that kind of stuff.
I gotta tell you, you can, maybe it's just because I had a few too many IPAs on a football Sunday, but I sit and I turn on that NFL Network, and they run games from last year, and they were showing Kansas City, Gina's Kansas City.
Jeez,
I think we're playing, God, who was on last night? They're playing Minnesota. Yeah, I think they're playing the Vikings. KC was 3-0. Minnesota was 2-0-1 for some reason.
Minnesota was all right.
It was like 13-13 when I turned. I had no idea who won that game. I was cheering. I was kind of assuming KC did because they had a great year, but Minnesota looked good. And at some point, Minnesota was up like 13-10, and they were on the 4-yard line. They were like driving. I was like, score, score. I was ready to call Cousin Sal and put a few bucks down. Like, you can watch any random game from season from week four of last year's football season. Mm-hmm. If it's not your team, like, when I saw the, God forbid, the fucking Rams played Baltimore last year and got at home and just were lit up. I knew immediately when I turned that game on, the Rams got destroyed. But any close game from some two teams that you're not following in season, week four, you'll have no idea who won that game. You can watch, you can enjoy it. Like, you literally,
forward like it's live.
You literally can. I had a great dad moment. Hey, Max Zapata, you have that in that Rams Baltimore game. I don't know if you can find stuff online, but in the Rams Baltimore game, Baltimore had scored touchdowns like the first six times they touched a ball. They literally, it was like 35-6.
Yeah, they came out of the gate so strong at the beginning of last year. They're just dominated.
And he threw a pass down the field, and the tight end caught it. And he like looked back, kind of went over his shoulder, caught it, and started, took a step and a half. The DB punched it out. The ball was loose, and Rams recovered. And I'm like, all right, well, they need that if they're going to start coming back. And then they did the no catch ruling on the field.
Yeah, which possession long enough.
Yeah, and it's like, he turned around and he caught it, and then he started running, and then he got it punched out. I don't know why that's not a catch. No one can fully explain. Like, he didn't have it long enough. I don't know. How long do you have to have it? He caught it. Like, my feeling is once you catch it, it can be stripped. if you're juggling it or you haven't caught it, then you didn't catch it. But if you catch it, mm-hmm. it doesn't need to be a period of time. You caught the ball. I mean, we've all seen the sort of button hook move where the guy catches it and then goes to turn. It gets punched up, but he caught it. Like, I don't know why. I don't get why it's not a catch. And I was yelling at Sonny. Poor Sonny. He had to come in and watch this with me. But my rule is, if the DB was never born, would the guy still have the fucking ball? And if the answer is yes, then the DB punched it out. It was a pure punch-out move. Drove me nuts. Sonny hates it because I have the remote when I can reverse it and show it again and reverse it and show it again. And it took
the
40
minutes.
The one
that can't rent your special? The
one that that one that doesn't work on my comedy specials. It's Sonny. That's his remote. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Nick Walenda is on. I don't know if you can. I don't know. NFL probably doesn't put that stuff up on the ultranet.
Yeah, not. I mean, there are ways. I'm trying to find it.
The definition, the tight end sort of turned back, caught it, and then turned forward and started to run, and it was punched out. I'm like, but first he caught the ball. I don't like that. It also removes exciting plays, and I don't like it when you remove skillful plays. Like the DB made a good play and punched that ball out. Also, my Rams were down, I don't know, 35-6 or something at the time. It was embarrassing, man. All right. Let's see. Let me hit Simply Safe here, and then we'll talk to Nick Walenda about facing your fears. Who knows better? Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. Fear has no place. Well, that's the theme for today, people. Protect your home today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back with High Wire Specialist Nick Walenda right after this.